Friends, welcome to worship today. It is a delight to have you with us. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Would you join me in today's call to worship? Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. God's love was revealed among us in this way. Jesus Christ came into the world. Since God loved us so much, we are called to love one another. Come, let us worship. And as we do so, let us light the Christ candle. If you have a candle at home that you light during worship, let's do that together, remembering Jesus is the light of the world, who came to seek the lost and the lonely. Let's pray together. God of love and unity, as we come to worship you today, raising our voices, our hearts and hands, we pray that you fill us with compassion, mercy and kindness toward those who are different from us and those who take advantage of us or despise us because of you. Teach us your kingdom way, Blessed One. We pray in your name, Jesus. Amen. Friends, we are people of worth and value. When we honestly acknowledge the shame and guilt of our lives, there is a possibility of transformation. Let us pray, putting our trust in the accepting grace of Christ. Let us pray the prayer of confession together. Gracious God, forgive us when we hear again the good news of all that you have given us through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, and yet still fail to respond to your call with faith. Through your Spirit, help us to stand in the assurance of your acceptance. Forgive us when we are constrained by our narrow understandings of discipleship and our clouded sense of purpose. Through your Spirit, draw us into the vastness of your love and of the life you have for us. Forgive us when uncertainty about the future makes us hesitant to step into your calling. Help us to remember your faithful presence with us in the past, to recognize your grace in the present moment, and to trust in your promise to be with us for our future. Through your Spirit, we offer ourselves in discipleship. We stand together as your disciples. We seek renewed and renewing faith. Touch us now with your Spirit, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Friends, hear this word of grace to us today. Nothing is impossible with God. There's no place you can go, no end of the earth you can run to where God cannot find you. There's nothing on earth or beyond death that can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. You are forgiven. You are loved. You are reconciled to God. So go and live with the love of God that is yours every single day. Thanks be to God. And God's people say, Amen.
Good morning, everyone. Our reading this morning is from Luke chapter 6, verses 27 through 38. And I'm reading from the Living Bible this morning. Listen, all of you, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, pray for the happiness of those who curse you, implore God's blessing on those who hurt you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, let him slap the other too. If someone demands your coat, give him your shirt besides. Give what you have to anyone who asks you for it, and when things are taken away from you, don't worry about getting them back. Treat others as you want them to treat you. Do you think you deserve credit for merely loving those who love you? Even the godless do that. And if you do good only to those who do you good, is that so wonderful? Even sinners do that much. And if you lend money only to those who can repay you, for what good is that? Even the most wicked will lend their own kind for full return. Love your enemies, do good to them, lend to them, and don't be concerned about the fact that they won't repay. Then your reward from heaven will be very great, and you will truly be acting as sons of God, for he is kind to the unthankful and to those who are very wicked. Try to show as much compassion as your Father does. Now, never criticize or condemn, or it will all come back to you. Go easy on those then who will do the same for you. For if you give, you will get. Your gift will return to you in full and overflowing measure, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, and running over. Whatever measure you use to give, large or small, you will be used to measure what is given back to you. This is the word of the Lord.
One of the commentators I read this week as I was working on this passage had this to say about it. Congregations respond to this text in the same way my children respond to seeing cooked spinach on their plate at dinner. When we first hear this passage, we might think that it's just really an expanded version of the Golden Rule, the Golden Rule that we were probably all taught as children. That rule that reminds us not to do anything to anyone else that we would not want done to us. But a closer look tells us that this passage is not just that. The way that Jesus is calling us to live in these verses is anything but familiar and easy. It's challenging stuff. What do we do when someone is treating us abysmally? What do we do when we are being belittled or abused or betrayed? What do we do when a country far more powerful than we are seems to be shoving us around with the threat of things like, let's say tariffs? See, this is tough stuff. Now, before we go down the rabbit trail of Canada-US trade relations, let's leave those aside for a minute and focus on the part of this that we actually have the capacity to do something about, how we as individuals live every day in our relationships with the people we know and interact with, how we treat our neighbors, how we treat those we feel are our enemies, or those who feel that we are their enemies. In the days of Jesus, social relationships between people were often governed by a commonly held belief that things worked a certain way. In general, people expected there to be some kind of reciprocity to relationships. So if someone did something for you, there was this unspoken understanding that you would reciprocate and you would do something for them. Well, honestly, I'm not sure much has changed in the last 2,000 years because I think that we mostly still function this way. I have you over for dinner, and you feel a sense of obligation to return the favor. You help me out with something, and I feel like I should find a way to repay your kindness. You buy our coffee this time, and I'll buy it the next. There's this kind of ingrained, understood, transactional nature to our interactions with each other. Well, that transactional thing doesn't just apply to the nice things we do for each other, does it? If someone slaps me on one cheek, my first instinct is, again, to return the favor. And most people would think I'm entirely justified in doing so. But here, Jesus urges those of us who want to try to follow in his way not to retaliate, not to match slap for slap, justified or not. Reading this passage in the Message translation is very helpful. There it reads, "To you who are ready for the truth, I say this. Love your enemies. Let them bring out the best in you, not the worst. When someone gives you a hard time, respond with the supple moves of prayer for that person. If someone slaps you in the face, stand there and take it. If someone grabs your shirt, gift wrap your best coat and make a present of it. If someone takes unfair advantage of you, use the occasion to practice the servant life. No more payback. No more payback." I think that that phrase really captures what Jesus is saying here. He's urging his followers to break a cycle of behavior that has actually been embedded in human social functioning since nearly the beginning. It's the cycle of retaliation, where we respond to someone's meanness with unkindness of our own. We pay them back. Whether it's actual retaliatory actions or even just the threat of them, this cycle of payback can significantly influence what we do or what we don't do. And here, Jesus is clearly saying that payback is not his way. His is a way that doesn't resort to retaliation or even to the threat of it, but consciously chooses something better. He says we need to love our enemies and those who hate us. We need to bless the people who are cursing us and pray for those who are piling abuse on us. We shouldn't retaliate when we are hurt or when someone takes advantage of us. And when someone steals from us, we should let them keep what they've taken and then give them even more. Anyone but me hear echoes of Les Miserables in that? So if we want to follow in Jesus' way, we just have to love the very people we really don't want to love. People we would probably far rather hate. Teachings like this are one of the reasons why the way of Jesus is sometimes called the narrow path, because this part of following him is difficult. He calls us to live lives of crazy seeming generosity and grace in a world that is, frankly, pretty hostile at times. This is actually why those congregations respond to this reading in the same way that children respond to cooked spinach. Not only is it incredibly difficult for us to act in the way that Jesus is urging, the honest truth may be that most of us probably don't even want to try. And friends, that is the moment when my holy mask slips, as I face my honest, raw, rather messy feelings about what Jesus is asking me to do. Moments like that can be incredibly humbling, but they can also be truly life-altering. Because with that mask gone, we can finally see ourselves and see God much more clearly. And it is the vulnerability and the honesty of those moments that allows the Holy Spirit to do his best work, as suddenly we realize that these impossible things, this unexplainable grace and mercy Jesus is calling us to, is exactly what God is already giving each of us every single day. When we truly feel how hard it is for us to love the people who treat us so terribly, then we start to realize how incredible it is that God actually loves us in all of our fallenness and imperfection. We realize what an incredible gift it is that in his deep and abiding love for us, God showers his mercy and grace on us on our very best days and on our worst days. And it is in experiencing God's unrestrained grace that we actually begin to discover the heart to extend that same grace ourselves. We find that perhaps we can turn the other cheek rather than just lash out and pay back those who hurt us. And little by little, one by one, each of us finding the will and the strength to do that begins to change things. It starts to break those cycles of retaliation and to replace them with a life-giving way of being together that is led by mercy and grace. So let me return now for just a moment to tiger territory and to this looming threat of tariffs that we're living with right now. I honestly don't know how you convince world leaders to choose grace instead of retaliation. It would take the proverbial wisdom of Solomon to figure that one out. But I do trust that if you could do it, the world would be a much better place. In our staff meeting this week, Fiona and Adele and I were talking about how challenging this time is for us all, and about how hard it is not to feel helpless in the face of these huge issues that we're facing. Well, although I don't have any quick solutions to our problems with the US, I do have something to share that I think might actually help us with those feelings of helplessness. A few months ago, I commended to you an episode of Kate Bowler's podcast because I thought the things her guest that day, Parker Palmer, said were very helpful. And there was one part in that episode that I think actually might apply as we think about how to live out Jesus' teachings in our passage today. It's true, reading the news can leave you feeling completely overwhelmed and powerless in the face of all that seems to be looming. But let's not forget something else that we know to be true, that the media today has this incredible propensity to totally mess up our sense of reality. Read the news and you can feel like there's no hope for the world, that you should better just shutter up your house and hide. But turn that news off. And then go outside. Walk around your block. Talk to your neighbors. Visit your local coffee shop. Gradually, as you do those things, you start to find that your sense of reality is being recalibrated. You're once again able to connect with your actual reality, the one that is closest and most real for you, your own life, your place in this world. And that recalibration really, really helps. When we spend too much time thinking about the big problems in our world, we can find ourselves feeling like there's absolutely nothing we can do to fix those things. They're just too big. From that feeling, it's a very short step to thinking that what you or I do doesn't make any difference, and so it doesn't really even matter. But that just isn't true. Friends, it's a lie, because what you do each day really does matter. It does make a difference, maybe not on the international stage, but in your home, it surely does. In your neighborhood, in your community, it surely does. And it is vital that we each keep remembering this, that how we live each day with each other really does matter in far more ways than we will probably ever know. So friends, I know it's hard, but don't give up. Don't buy into the lie that you can't change anything or make anything better. Be determined, determined to influence the things that you can. Be determined to live the ways Jesus teaches us with the people in your life. So, this week, when someone you know barks at you because they're grumpy, maybe stop. Take a breath and make the choice not to bark back. Because my friends, that very choice is yours to make. So don't let anyone take that choice away from you. I kind of think this is at least part of what Jesus is saying here. We choose how we act with each other. We don't have to hate when we're hated. We don't have to curse when we are cursed. We don't have to hit back when we're hit or hurt back when we're hurt. We can choose a different way, Jesus' way. And when we do, as he's promised here, our reward will be great, for we will be children of the Most High. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Please join me in these, the prayers of the people. Holy Jesus, you call us into a life that others have told us is easy, but it is not. You challenge us to forgive, to love our enemies, to bless those who curse us. We want the easy way, but you have given us the hard path. Grant us the patience and endurance to journey with you, to allow ourselves at times to stumble, to live into the hard way, so that we might fully experience your love, grace, and peace in this world by becoming a people full of love and grace and forgiving others. God of life and death, we pray for those who are facing the end of their lives. May they come to know that your love reaches out to enfold even in death. We pray for those, and we are many, who find it hard to accept ourselves the way we are, and choose to hide behind the masks of possessions and power. Help us to risk living with a little less of these and to look at ourselves without fear through your eyes of love. We pray for those in our world for whom it always seems winter, who have no hope of the warmth and brightness of a spring just around the corner. We pray for those who have no food, no money, no home, no work. Help us to find ways to share what we have with them. God of creation, we pray for your world teetering on the brink of a long, bitter winter brought about by human neglect. Help us to work to restore balance. Help us to rediscover and observe the rhythms of creation, which you wisely put in place, so that spring will follow winter and autumn and summer, and all may enjoy the fruits of your good creation. Creator God, this is the day that you have made. This is the day you have called holy. Sabbath day, a rest day, a time out. Out of the world and into the presence of God, a day for rejoicing. Make us glad this morning in the house of the Lord. Remove from us our distractions, our heart worries, our to-dos and should-haves, and all the constant stress and strain. And in its place, O God, give us more of you. Here in your house, our hearts are filled with peace, our mouths with laughter, our tongues with shouts of joy. Fill us to brimming and overflowing with the joy of the Lord, a good measure of God pressed down, shaken together and running over. We are glad, yes, we are glad indeed to be together in the house of the Lord. We pray for our congregation as we face the challenges of the future and look for your will for us. Help us to run the risk of losing things which we hold as precious so that we are more able to reach others with your good news. Help us to be wise in deciding what, if anything, to discard. What new vision, if any, we should pursue. Help us to trust you for the new spring life which can flow out into our community. Amen. Please join me in the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you again for all the ways you give to the work of Jesus Christ here at St. Stephen's. Would you pray with me now over all the gifts that are given this week? Generous God, we have known your unfailing love and faithfulness, your care and provision, your protection and salvation. And so we respond with deep gratitude, offering back to you a portion of what you have given to us. Accept the gifts we bring, tangible expressions of our love and gratitude for what you have so generously given to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Friends, go now, turning grudges into grace, turning fractures into forgiveness, turning hardness into hearts that have been broken open by love. And as we go, may the blessing of God fall on our community. May it be a safe place full of understanding and acceptance, where we can be as we are without any need of mask or pretense or image. May ours be a community of discovery, discovery of the love of God, discovery of the peace of Jesus, and discovery of the transforming power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Through every battle, through every heartbreak, through every circumstance, I believe that you are my fortress. Oh, you are my portion. You are my hiding place. Oh, I believe you are.
Oh, you are. Oh, you are. And it's a new horizon. Oh, I'm set on.